You are listening to the Gerwick Report Podcast.
The podcast that tells it like it is.
With Steve Gerwick.
Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Frank D.
Fabulous. Frankie Frankster D. Up in this bitch right now.
And Gerwick.net Hall of Famer Theodore R. Long.
Holla, 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 player.
It is Wednesday, July the 20th, 2016. I am Steve Gerwick of Gerwick.net, the newly redesigned Gerwick.net, your source for pro wrestling news since 1997. It is episode 140 of the Gerwick Report podcast, the podcast that tells it like it is. And it's the day after the WWE draft. We're going to get into the draftees, which show did better, the new general managers, a lot of topics to discuss today. Let me quickly tag in my longtime tag team partner, Frank D.
What's going on, Steve? How you doing, man?
Did you survive the draft last night, Frank?
I sure did survive the draft, Steve, but we have another member here for our triple threat. He is the former general manager of SmackDown and ECW, and I guarantee you, he would have picked a way better roster than what Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon picked last night on the draft. He is the one, the only, Teddy Long. What's up, player?
Hey, what's up with you, player? And you can believe that. That is nothing but the soul gospel truth you just said there, player. Holla, holla at Frank D. Steve Areno. We ready, player.
Definitely.
Absolutely. We'll get into the draft here momentarily. Teddy, how was your weekend?
Well, everything was great this weekend. This past Saturday night, I was in Valdosta, Georgia for Sun Belt Wrestling. Had a great time. MVP was on the show along with WWE Hall of Famer Ron Simmons. He was there. Sabu was there. And Mr. Hughes, the Big Cat. And we just had a great time, great show at the fairgrounds there in Valdosta. Wild World Adventures, I believe that's the name of it. Had a great turnout.
Very good. Also want to mention quickly here, we are on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher Radio. And definitely check out ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick for all your Gerwick.net and Gerwick Report podcast t-shirt. And Frank, how's the YouTube channel doing?
YouTube channel is doing great, Steve. Right now we are over 1,000 subscribers. Want to send a special thank you to everybody out there that's checking out our content. And check out the YouTube channel right now at YouTube.com/GerwickNet. Myself, Atley Green and Adam Cone did a mock fantasy draft the other night, and it's a very entertaining show. So check it out right now on YouTube.com/GerwickNet. Subscribe to our channel. Thumbs up the videos. We definitely appreciate your support.
And I would definitely encourage people to check out that mock draft because, as you said, you guys put a lot more thought into the draft, much more creativity. Had some great ideas about improving either brand. So definitely check that out on our YouTube channel. Well, we are here on Wednesday instead of Tuesday, as we usually are, because it was the draft last night. Much anticipated WWE draft, and the night before the draft, we found out who was going to run the Raw general manager position, and there's been a lot of speculation. Stephanie McMahon came out, made her announcement, and it was one Mick Foley.
Yes, you guys are right. I should actually take this spot right now and take the opportunity to announce the person who is going to lead Raw to the promised land. The person who will have complete autonomy and has my full confidence. Ladies and gentlemen, the new general manager of Monday Night Raw.
To agree with you, one of the craziest but most creative individuals I've ever seen. No doubt about everything this man has accomplished in this industry. Former WWE champion. A best-selling author, a comedian, and a mind like no other in sports entertainment.
I can't help but think that was kind of a lackluster announcement. There was a number of different candidates they could have went with. I know somebody like Eric Bischoff is someone that Frank D. would support, I think would probably fit the bill a little bit better than Mick Foley. But I don't know, Teddy, what's your reaction to Mick Foley taking over the general managership of Raw?
Well, let me say, first of all, congratulations to Mick Foley. To me, you know, I think they made a good pick. Nick's been around for a while. People still know him. They still like him. I think he does a great job. So, in my opinion, I think they made a good choice, and hopefully Nick will do a good job.
Just the dynamics here, Frank. Stephanie McMahon is basically a heel. She picks a babyface Mick Foley, and to me, it just doesn't make any sense. There was a lot of other fitting candidates. Even Triple H probably would make a little more sense here in this particular situation, but I don't know, Frank, Mick Foley?
Have a nice day!
Well, you know, to me, Steve, they want to tout the new era, but Mick Foley represents the old era, the Attitude Era, you know, so it really wasn't any kind of breaking news situation when Mick Foley came out there on Monday night. It was simply like, oh, Mick Foley, okay. And his pop was nowhere near the pop that Daniel Bryan got when he came out there. And the thing about that is it's kind of telling, too, Steve, because we knew in advance that Daniel Bryan was going to be the general manager of SmackDown. We actually talked about that, you know, last week on the show, and he still got a tremendous pop. People were still with it. So I don't understand what they're doing here with Mick Foley. I don't get it. Same thing with Eric Bischoff. You know, I'm a big Bischoff fan, and if Bischoff would have came back as general manager, it would have been cool. But at the same time, he represents an old era. So they're trying to build the new era, you know, yada, yada, yada. But I don't know, man. They could have found somebody else for the position. No disrespect to Mick Foley, but I just don't see Mick Foley as that type of guy. And on top of that, too, Steve, Mick Foley has already had that role before. You remember back in the day, he was commissioner of the WWF. So it's really nothing new here. There's no new ground being broken at all.
Well, we did announce Mick Foley as the Raw General Manager, and I'm going to, after I've seen Daniel Bryan, he got introduced, I couldn't help but think that this is the best you could do. And I know people are going to say, yeah, you're going to kiss Teddy Long's butt because he's on this show, but Teddy Long would have done a much better job in this role, Frank. And I like Daniel Bryan. We talked about this on the last podcast. I love him as a wrestler. I love him as Bryan Danielson back in Ring of Honor. But to me, honestly, couldn't they use him as a trainer? Couldn't they use him as an agent? Is this the best role they could come up with for Daniel Bryan? I just think they could have found something more suitable to his skill level than a talker on television.
Well, that's the thing. Daniel Bryan really isn't the greatest talker in the world, so it's going to be very interesting moving forward how Daniel Bryan is going to be able to carry the show, because I'm not expecting to see Shane McMahon every week on SmackDown. So can Daniel Bryan hold his own? We shall see. But, you know, the bottom line, Steve, is that the guy was under contract to WWE, so they had to find somewhere to put him and pay him, you know. So that's what it is.
And what do you think, Teddy? Now in this new era, we have the two general managers. We have Mick Foley, Daniel Bryan. We have Stephanie over Mick, and we have Shane over Daniel Bryan. Do you think the McMahons are still going to be front and center, or do you think they're going to be kind of hands-off and let the general managers run the show?
Well, first of all, let me also congratulate Daniel Bryan. You know, I think with him being in this role, this is the first time that he's ever been in a position like this. So it's going to take time for him to, you know, settle in. He's going to have to, you know, kind of learn the GM's way. And hopefully that his mic skills will get a little better, because you got to have that deliverance and you got to have that that authority voice. But people like Daniel Bryan, I like him. I think he's a great guy, you know, and hopefully that he'll come in, you know, by him being in a brand new role. And this is something everybody's seeing that is brand new. Hopefully that this will work. My thing is, I kind of agree with Frank D. I don't think that you're going to be seeing maybe Shane or Stephanie a whole lot. I think the general managers will run the show. And like I said, man, when you're out there on your own, that's really a big responsibility. I've been in that position a lot of times, you know, where I've had to run that whole show. And, you know, basically, you know, I was out there on my own. So you got to run, do this, you run, do that. And a lot of stuff you got to remember. So, you know, let's just see what happens. This is brand new for Daniel Bryan. I wish him good luck with it. And hopefully, you know, it'll pay off for him. We just have to wait and see.
The big question was, where was Triple H? Triple H, during the draft, I actually saw him tweet about the NXT talent, putting over, say, Finn Balor, who got a high spot in the draft. At some point, Frank, we're going to see Triple H back, right? I mean, we talked about this before, but where is it going to be? We've already got commissioners set. We have GMs set. At what role is Triple H going to play in the future here?
I'm not sure, Steve. I think that Triple H's role will be whenever Shane McMahon leaves the company, is when you'll see Triple H come back to television. But I don't know. I was very surprised that Triple H was not named the general manager for Monday Night Raw. I was very surprised by that because they kind of hinted towards that last week with the whole deal with Shane and Stephanie saying game on and, you know, the only game in the business, I married him. And so you kind of thought there was going to be Triple H and then you get swerved with Mick Foley. So I don't know. It just seems to me that Triple H just wants nothing to do with this storyline. He wants nothing to do, obviously, with Shane McMahon for some reason. And when we'll see Triple H again, I don't know. Maybe you'll see him at SummerSlam. Maybe you'll see him later in the year at Survivor Series. Who knows?
And Teddy, you know the McMahons well. What do you think the future holds for Triple H? Obviously, he's high up in the company backstage, but at some point, do you anticipate him being on television?
Well, I don't know. You know, I think Triple H has a lot of responsibilities. You know, he's in charge at NXT, so he's moving around, you know, going to a lot of the NXT house shows and going down to the developmental camp. So he's got, you know, a lot on his plate. So, you know, I don't know whether he wants the responsibility of kind of be on TV and plus be in charge of the company and doing all this stuff, you know, behind the scenes. So I think that's just one that we're going to just have to look out for and see what decision that, you know, he wants to make on his own.
And I want to get both your opinion here. We'll start with Teddy because something that Frank and I have been talking about for a long time on this podcast was, you know, what happened with Shane. We wanted to see Shane come back. Shane came back, and it was a great reaction for him to come back. He brought up the first week that, you know, since he's been gone, and it was the Triple H, Stephanie McMahon regime running the company, at least on the surface, on television. The ratings numbers were down. The business numbers were down. And it was like a lot of life in WWE. And then as it progressed, he got involved with the Undertaker match. He lost the Undertaker match. It seemed like maybe that should have been the end of Shane. He didn't get control of Raw like he was supposed to. It was a storyline, you know, either that or the Undertaker would have to retire. But to me, just Shane's return now, and now we see that Shane has appointed Daniel Bryan to run SmackDown as general manager. I can't help but think that Shane's return has just been kind of there, ho-hum, lackluster. It seemed like there was so much life to his character when they brought him back, and now where we are today, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, Teddy, they just may have just dropped the ball totally with Shane's return. I think he could have done so much more than the role they presently have given him.
Well, I agree with you there, too. And my opinion on that, too, I think they should have left Shane on Raw. I think he should have been the guy, the commissioner for Raw. And maybe you'd have put Stephanie over to SmackDown, you know, and have her to, you know, work with Daniel Bryan, which I thought would have been a great combination. You know, with Shane, I just don't know. You know, it's like you said, when he come in, he was a ball of fire. And, you know, now, you know, it's kind of just Shane McMahon. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what his role is going to be, too. You know, they just made all these changes, and so a lot of new stuff are going to be coming. So we'll just have to see where Shane McMahon fits in.
I don't know, Steve. You know, Shane McMahon came in and got a huge pop when he first came back in Detroit. And, you know, he's been there, and he still gets a pop, but it's not the same pop he got the first time he came back. But I don't know as far as his role there. I mean, you know, he got involved with The Undertaker, and I thought pretty much when he did the match with Taker, that was going to be the end of Shane McMahon in WWE. But he's sticking around, and I don't know. It's kind of hard to say right now because you don't know if Shane McMahon is going to take a corporate role in the office at WWE. You don't really know as far as the storyline, where they're going here, as far as with the whole commissioner deal. I'm just going by what I'm thinking here that we've probably seen the last of Shane for right now. I think it's all going to be Daniel Bryan. It's going to all be Mick Foley. It won't have anything to do with the McMahons, but I think you're right there. They could do a whole lot more with Shane than what they're doing. And eventually, you know, it would have been cool to see maybe a match between Shane McMahon and Triple H if Triple H wanted to partake in that. But something tells me he doesn't want to.
And, of course, now that we've established who the commissioners are, we established who the general managers are, last night was the draft. And when I saw the rules for the draft, it was clear, as could be, it was very overt that they were going to make Raw the stronger brand, as we all pretty much figured they would. Raw, because it was 3 hours, would get three picks to SmackDown's two picks. So each round, they go back and forth, and Raw would end up with three talents versus SmackDown's two talents. So they're telling you up front, hey, Raw is still the A show, SmackDown's the B show. So we knew that going in. But last night, of course, Teddy, was the draft. We expected some things to happen, but it just didn't seem like there was a lot of life in this draft. There was really no surprises. And in the end, as we expected, you know, Raw dominated and, you know, SmackDown is still the B show.
Well, you know, that's the way it always been. You know, Raw is, as they say in behind the scenes, Raw is their baby. And so that's the show that they're going to take care of, and that's the show that they're basically going to put all the big stars on, you know, so they can, you know, keep their ratings up over there. I think they did make some good choices for SmackDown. We talked about this before we came on, and the reason I'm saying is I don't want Frank to think I stole his line, but SmackDown did really get the best wrestlers, and I'd have to agree with that. So we just have to wait and see what's going on here. I think that they're still in the process of making changes. You know, every time they do this draft, there's always some people that they let go or release. So we're going to have to just wait and see. There may be still some surprises that are in the works that may be coming.
Yeah, one thing, Frank, was we talked about a lot of the names possibly coming back, Carlito and Sheldon, and they weren't in this draft. I just think, Frank, the draft itself had no life to it. It just was there. They split up the rosters, and in the end, as we expected, Raw dominated, and SmackDown, as you would say, ended up with more wrestlers, better wrestlers, but in the end, Raw has the bigger names.
Yeah, Raw definitely has the star power here. SmackDown has, you know, John Cena, Dean Ambrose, AJ Styles, Randy Orton to kind of counter that. But in my opinion here, man, you know, I'm not too thrilled with the roster choices, but I'm going to reserve judgment right now until I actually see where the shows go moving forward here, where feuds are going to come out of it. Obviously, the intent of this draft last night was to beef up Money Night Raw, definitely. And they did do that, you know, with the inclusion of people like Finn Balor to the Raw scene, you know, and then just the whole splitting of the club last night. I just don't understand that one. When they made a Titantron video for the club, a new logo for the club, and then they split them up. AJ is on SmackDown, Anderson and Gallows on Raw. Obviously, at some point, let the speculation begin that they're going to join up with Finn Balor. You know, other than that, Steve, I don't know. You know, and then, you know, as we were talking about flying, you know, there you were talking about Samoa Joe and how they didn't bring up Joe last night. And, you know, I kind of agree with what you were saying, but at the same time, Samoa Joe is the NXT champion. I don't know, man. I just some of these picks here are questionable, especially the picks that went to SmackDown. Raw is the flagship, I guess, so it is what it is.
To borrow a Frank D-ism, Samoa Joe got buried. You've had this guy under contract for a year now. And I said on this podcast when they signed him, bring him on the main roster now. And they didn't do that. And they kept him in NXT. And I understand he's the NXT champion. But NXT is not the money-making ship right now. They're trying to beef up SmackDown, rake in the coals with Raw. Here is Samoa Joe, one of the most recognizable faces out there. He's been with you for so long now. You're just wasting him. This was the chance. Okay, you didn't bring him up before. Now here's a chance where you're calling up six guys from NXT or six talents from NXT. I think they actually brought up seven if you did the total headcount at the end. And here is at the end of the draft, you have all these other talents go before Joe in the draft. You got Mojo, you got Carmella, you got people that unfortunately a lot of people don't know about. Nia Jax was in this draft. And you're telling me that those people deserve to be called up before Samoa Joe. And I just scratched my head. And one thing that did happen, did occur, was that there was a report that Samoa Joe was injured. And Samoa Joe, the day of the draft, shot down those rumors and said, I'm not injured, I'm fine, everything's cool. And I just cannot believe that you drafted all these guys, all these women, and you didn't call up Samoa Joe. I don't know what else I can say. Is that the guy got buried. How can this guy not be? He should have been on the roster already, and here you are. Golden opportunity to put him first or second, third, five, six, seven, eight pick in the draft. Like you did Finn Balor, and I give him a lot of credit. They made Finn Balor's selection seem like something special. You could have done the same thing with Samoa Joe on the SmackDown side. Why didn't they do that? I'll have no idea except, I guess like Frank D would say, he's not been there as long as Finn Balor. We're going to keep him down here. But it's just asinine. The guy is so talented. They certainly lack talent from a depth standpoint with these two rosters. Now you split them up. How did you not get Samoa Joe on these rosters is mind-boggling.
Well, the question also is, how did you not get Bayley on these rosters is mind-boggling as well. You sent up Carmella and Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax before you sent up Bayley. And Bayley has been main roster ready for I don't know how long. You have the other horsewomen on the main roster, so why is Bayley still stuck at NXT? And Bayley is not an NXT champion right now. So that's the thing where I can say, well, Samoa Joe is NXT champion, so that's kind of a, you know, a handcuff on him right now because he's still the champion of that brand. But Bayley is not a champion of that brand. So why is Bayley not moving to the main roster yet? And there's, other people down there, too. You know, you have Austin Aries down there, too. You have Bobby Roode down there as well. There's other guys down there that could be, you know, called up, and they chose not to do that, and they chose to bring up Mojo Rawley. You know, I just don't get that. I mean, what exactly is Mojo Rawley going to do? I mean, I don't know, man. This I don't know, dude. I don't know. This brand split, you know, it started when we started this conversation a couple months ago. I was really excited about it. I'm not really excited about it anymore after seeing these rosters. I'm just going to, like I said before, I'm just going to wait and see what feuds they come up with out of it. But I'm not really excited about the future direction for SmackDown. I'll put it to you like that.
If Samoa Joe is the NXT champion, and NXT obviously is their developmental system, they have it on their network, why not draft Samoa Joe, and for the first few weeks, he's the NXT champion on SmackDown? Wouldn't that make the NXT look like something special? The NXT champion is on SmackDown, and he could be the NXT champion until the storyline you change titles. I just don't understand a guy as talented as Samoa Joe is just being wasted in developmental.
Well, I'm going to say this to you, Steve. You can, you know, everything you're saying is exactly right, but you can say that until you turn blue in the face. What it is,
I almost
with
did.
The WWE, what it is with the WWE is real simple. It's called timing. It's all about timing. And right now, in their eyesight, it is not Samoa Joe's time. It's just that simple.
Although I know they got AJ on the main roster. He's still, what, a TNA guy, right?
Well, I don't know about that because AJ Styles.
Well, they didn't call it Bobby Roode.
Well, he's a second, but Bobby Roode hasn't, you know, he hasn't even debuted yet on NXT television. So he hasn't even debuted yet. He's going to be debuting soon, but he hasn't even debuted yet on the NXT roster. So, I mean, if it were me and we were going to do this draft and I would say, hey, you know what, one of the biggest free agents out there, Bobby Roode, he's coming to SmackDown. I would have done it like that. You know, I would have done that. But I don't work there. But one thing I will say, Joe, is that Monday night on Raw, they made the announcement that the Cruiserweight division is returning to WWE, and it will be a Raw-exclusive division. So to counter that, when myself and Atlee and Adam Cohn did our mock draft, which you can check out right now at youtube.com/DerekNet, we were talking about, you know, something that SmackDown could have exclusive, and one of those things that we brought up were NXT matches on SmackDown. I mean, that kind of goes into what you were saying here about Samoa Joe being the NXT champion and probably, you know, defending that belt over on SmackDown. I would have no problem with that. Because
yeah, why not?
It gives exposure to the NXT brand for a lot of the casual fans that may not watch NXT. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be kind of telling, though, for a lot of people out there that don't watch NXT, it's going to be telling moving forward once they debut Finn Balor to the main roster just what kind of reaction Finn Balor is going to get.
Well, SmackDown, you went Ambrose, Styles, Cena, Orton, okay? And you brought Bray Wyatt over from Raw. Then they went Becky Lynch. They could put Samoa Joe sixth in that draft and move Becky Lynch down one notch. I mean, hell, they took Baron Corbin. Eighth. Who would you rather have, Baron Corbin or Samoa Joe?
Well, it's obviously we would want to have we would want to have Baron Corbin, right?
Of course, exactly. He's the man.
Right. So we will want to have Samoa Joe. I mean, yeah, we know that. We know that. But, you know, whatever reason WWE has, they don't want Samoa Joe up on the main roster yet. I don't know why that may be. But
well,
the
same
thing goes back to what I said about Bayley. They don't want Bayley on the main roster yet. I don't get it.
Well, maybe the counterpoint would be if you have Finn Balor is a former NXT champion, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, they took him. He's the former champion. So he gets picked before the champion. So why wouldn't you take the champion? From a logic standpoint, he's up higher than Finn Balor. He's the NXT champion.
Yeah, but he still represents. I guess it's kind of the situation where they don't want the champion going to the main show. That's what I didn't come up with. Because before, you know, when this whole thing was going down, that was one of the reasons why Finn Balor never came to the main roster was because he was still the champion. So once they dropped the belt off of him, you kind of knew where the plan was going. Kind of the same thing with Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens made his debut on the main roster. He was the NXT champion, and shortly after, he dropped the belt to Finn Balor. And then you didn't see Kevin Owens anymore on NXT. So,
well, I mean, he's a champion for the next taping, and you can take the title right off him. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. I don't know, Steve. I really don't know. I'll tell you what I'll do for you, pal. I will ask Trips, and I'll get back to you.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Here was a great opportunity, because at some point I do expect Samoa Joe to be on the main roster. I don't know when now, because I thought this was their golden opportunity. But you had a chance, so you're on SmackDown. Here you could have put him high in the draft, said, oh, look it. Okay, Raw took Finn Balor. Okay, we'll counter. We'll take somebody. We'll take this NXT champion Samoa Joe on our side. You know, they didn't do that. And a lot of these picks just make me shake my head here. I mean, Natalya goes 11th. And then, of course, they went to the developmental draft afterwards, which I don't know how many people actually watched that. Here's where you had Zack Ryder. Here you had Naomi. Here you had Kane. Eva Marie. A lot of names that I don't know if people really care all that much about. Apollo Crews, I guess, goes over to the SmackDown side. But I don't know. Just overall, the draft really made me shake my head. And you know, I said this last time, Teddy, when we talked about the draft and the brand extension. If this doesn't work, and on the surface, I think they've got a lot of issues to work out here, especially with just the general managers themselves. And now you have the talent split in half. You didn't bring up the top NXT talent. I think they got their work cut out for them moving forward here with 5 hours of weekly television, Monday night with Raw and Tuesday night with SmackDown. I think this could really backfire on them.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they got the work cut out for them, too. But, you know, I'm like you, you know, a lot of decisions was made last night that just didn't, you know, make a lot of sense. I mean, maybe it's just me and you that maybe see this, but, I mean, maybe to them it did. So I'm kind of lost for words myself. I really don't know how to really answer your question.
I mean, look at the situation here. I mean, they drafted Anderson and Gallows. They got Enzo and Cass. They got the New Day. I mean, they got Roman Reigns, they got Seth Rollins, they got Finn Balor, they got all these talents that I just mentioned all over on Raw. And to counter that, on SmackDown, they give you Mojo Rawley, Baron Corbin, Natalya, Kalisto at some point. You got drafted. I mean, my God, I mean, the scales here are not balanced at all.
The other thing, too, guys, I think, you know, you kind of got to go with what you got, you know, and at this particular time, you know, I think that's all that they've got. So you got to do something, you know, you got to make something out of what you got there.
Did it surprise you, Frank, that Charlotte was the number two pick of Raw?
You know, something, Steve, it did at the beginning when they announced it. I was kind of like, what the hell? But then I'm like, you know what? She is a women's champion, so that's the justification why she was drafted number two. They wanted to have the women's championship over there. And I'm kind of interested to see moving forward here if they're going to introduce another championship for the women's division over on SmackDown. Or is Charlotte going to go from one show to the other show? Because as of right now, it's being reported that they have no idea what they want to do with the championship yet. That's still undecided. Matter of fact, I was looking at all the reports coming up yesterday, and they kept saying over and over again that the rosters were finalized about 5 minutes before SmackDown started.
That doesn't surprise me, because it looked like it's a patchwork.
Right.
Hey, well, like, you remember I always told you I was there right at the particular time. Sometimes you get that show like 2 or 3 minutes before they go on the air, so that's probably true.
I can see them putting a rough draft together and they're like, no, we gotta put this guy on Raw. No, this lady belongs on SmackDown. I could definitely see that, but I don't expect the draft positions to really impact the pecking order on the roster, but it is interesting to note that Charlotte and Finn Balor were taken before Roman Reigns. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, what I'm going to be looking forward to at this point, Steve, is something that Shane McMahon said weeks ago. He says that, you know, when it comes to why he should run SmackDown, you know, it needs a fresh new look with the way they shoot the show and everything. This draft and brand extension and moving forward here, it cannot just be about colors, okay? You can't just have the ring robes a different color, but it's the same show. The whole show needs to look completely different from, the other one. So I'm expecting, but I don't think it's going to happen. But I'm expecting them to have a new stage for one of these shows. You know, they have to change it up. It can't be the same look they have right now. They got to do something different with the stage. Now, you know, a lot of people that I've talked to are like, you know, it'd be kind of cool if they brought back the old SmackDown fist from back in the day. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that, you know, it'll be something new and fresh. But they definitely need a new set. You know, the whole show needs to look completely different than what I saw last night and last week, if you really want to make this thing really, you know, stand out.
Well, I think what we can determine here is the Women's Championship stays on Raw, as well as Rusev and the U.S. Championship. You have on SmackDown now, you have The Miz, and you also have, I should say also for the Raw brand, looks like they're going to push the Cruiserweights on Raw. So on Raw, you have the U.S. Champion, the Cruiserweights, and the Ladies Champion, or the Women's Champion. I would say, Frank, looking at what they did with SmackDown, maybe more on the tag team side. You had American Alpha come up, you have the Usos, you have the Ascension, you have Breeze and Fandango. So is that going to be maybe their staple, maybe more tag team division?
It's hard to say. You know, here's the thing, though, man. They announced this draft months ago, right? So you would think that they would already know ahead of time what they're going to do with the championships and all this other stuff. Like, okay, now you got to think about, well, we got all these tag teams. Do we have the tag champions of New Day go from one show to the other show? Does SmackDown have its own tag team champions now? Like I said before, does SmackDown have its own women's champion now? We just don't know. And that's the killer part. They've had time to figure this stuff out, and they failed to do it.
Well, that's because they don't know.
Yeah.
You also mentioned the Vaudevillains also to SmackDown. So, but then again, you have what the tag team champions are currently on Raw.
It's kind of funny, though, you bring up the Vaudevillains, because I got to say something about the Vaudevillains real quick. So I guess yesterday at SmackDown in the catering area, Simon Gotch of the Vaudevillains got into a fight with Sin Cara, which had to be broken up. So I don't know what that's about. Nobody knows what it's about yet, but apparently they went at it for a few minutes before they were finally broken up. So I don't know.
Well, I can tell you what it is. It's morale.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think the morale is just pretty low there.
Huh. Could be. Or somebody took somebody's chicken. I don't know.
I mean, you know, when I went back, you know, I talked to a lot of guys, you know, some of the guys, you know, that had been there and stuff, you know, and I mean, they were, you know, happy to be employed and everything, getting a check, but other than that, they just, you know, weren't happy with their surroundings or their situation.
Well, one thing I can say, Steve, and this is something that myself and Abby Green were talking about the other day, was the fact of all these talents like Shelton Benjamin and Carlito and all these guys. One of the reasons why they may not return to the company is because there's stories going around that WWE, particularly Triple H, has been lowballing a lot of these guys on offers to bring them back to the company. So that's why a lot of guys that you thought were going to come in, a lot of people that were speculating, oh, we'll probably see Shawn Benjamin coming back, or, you know, Jimmy, you know, Wang Yang or MVP or somebody coming back, may not happen because of the low downsides that they're being offered by WWE currently.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Well, like I said, I was with MVP this weekend, and I talked to him, and as far as I know, you know, that he was going back, because he did tell me that he signed, and they were sending him to Pittsburgh. You know, they sent everybody for the doctors to, you know, check you out, so.
There you go, Frank. Breaking news.
Only here on the GRP.
MVP.
Exactly.
Could be headed back to the whip.
Well, is it going to be MVP, the old MVP, like back in the day, or is it going to be the TNA version of MVP?
And also, you know, I can give you this, too. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, this, you know, I also, you know, he told me that Shelton did sign, too, because Shelton was supposed to be on this show, and Shelton didn't use a no-show because that he did sign to go back to the WWE. So that's all I can tell you about that.
Breaking news.
Only on the GRB.
Believe that.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to talk more about WWE. We're going to get into the Brock Lesnar situation. A lot more to come on the GRP right after this.
If you want to truly style and profile and tell it like it is, you got to be wearing the official t-shirt. Head over right now to ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. That is the official merchandise store of Gurick.net. 8 great designs, $17.99. Plus shipping and handling will get you one of our shirts. Check them out today, ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. They ship internationally, domestically, PayPal, debit, credit, you name it, they got it. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. And for the latest in pro wrestling news, keep it locked to Gurick.net, your number one source on the World Wide Web for the latest in pro wrestling news since 1997.
Marty Daniels here, letting you know the Gurick Report podcast is available via Gurick.net. Download today on iTunes. Also can be streamed on Stitcher and TuneIn Radio.
Hey, what's up, players? Teddy Long. Hey, for all your pro wrestling news, all you've got to do is go to Gurick.net. That's right. For all your pro wrestling news, go to Gurick.net. And they have been number one since 1997. Now, that's a long time, players. That means it's a lot of credibility. Holla.
Visit our YouTube channel, search Gurick Report Podcast, and subscribe. And now, another classic Teddy Long moment.
Get out of my office, Teddy! Whoa. Get out!
Whoa. I don't want to be in your office, but I think you want to hear this.
I don't want to hear anything you have to say.
Oh, yes, you do. You see, there's a rumor that you won't be running next week's Raw, player.
Well, I heard a rumor, Teddy. You're going to have to buy a ticket to SmackDown next week, because you've been fired as GM.
Yeah. Well, this is no rumor that you're a horse's ass.
Get out! Get out of my office!
GRP episode 140. I want to remind everybody all the previous editions of the GRP, one click away at www.gerweck.net. And Frank D, what's the YouTube channel again?
YouTube.com/Gurick.net. Check it out today. The mock draft with myself, Adley Green, Adam Cohn. We had some fun and it was just great. So check it out right now, YouTube.com/Gurick.net. I haven't, you know, I'm going to say this right now, Steve. I'm not tooting my own shit here, but our draft was a lot better than what they did on Tuesday night.
Absolutely. You know, their draft reeked of lack of creativity, lack of direction, booking on the fly, where you guys actually put some thought into it. You were representing Raw. Adam was representing SmackDown. And, yeah, if you want some really interesting ideas of what you could do to give a little life to these brands, you know, check out that particular show that you guys did.
And it was kind of crazy because I kind of devalued SmackDown, kind of like what they did last night. I even referred to SmackDown a couple of times as Thunder.
I don't know. Is Raw turning into the old Nitro now? I don't know. With this draft?
I don't know, man. I really don't know. I mean, We shall see, dude. Like I said, it all goes down to creativity. And they got two separate writers going to be writing for Raw, going to be writing for SmackDown, you know. So I'm just kind of curious to see where they go moving forward here. You know, the rosters are set. They're going to be coming up, you know, with more people, as Teddy just said, you know, before we took the break here, that apparently MVP is going to be on his way back to the company.
I'm coming! Nobody can stop me, nobody can hold me, nobody control me. I'm coming! I'm here to do my thing, I'm here to bring the pain, I'm never ever gonna change.
So, we shall see, man.
And of course, Teddy, it's a new era now, so they did break up the announced teams, something that, you know, Frank had alluded to, is possibly put Corey Graves on Raw. They did that. Corey Graves from NXT is going to be on Raw with Byron Saxton and Michael Cole. JBL is going to be with Mauro Ranallo and David Otunga. are going to be the SmackDown announcers. That means, Teddy, your man, the King, is gone from the announce table at this point.
Well, yeah, that's kind of a surprise to me. It's really a shock. I mean, Lawler, I thought, did a great job there on SmackDown and Raw when he was on, you know, both brands. But like I say, in this business, you know, you can leave, you know, you can go home today with a job and wake up in the morning and you won't have one. So I really don't know what to think. But I tell you one thing, Lawler certainly will be missed.
What do you think? I don't know if you heard the week that Tonga did commentary, but what would you think of David Otunga weekly as a commentator on SmackDown?
Well, I hadn't heard any commentary from him yet. I hadn't had a chance to watch him yet, but I did. I met him when you know, I was there. So, you know, he's a really educated and real nice guy. So, and he does have a great voice. So, I mean, we just have to wait and see on him too. I think this is a brand new role for him too. But you know, the guy's a lawyer, for Christ's sake. So that tells me he can talk.
Well, break it down. Give me the pros and cons of these changes, Frank.
Con, Byron Saxton. Pro, Corey Graves, finally taking the spot on Monday Night Raw. Let's see what he can do. Con, JBL to SmackDown, guys. So listen to JBL. And JBL is probably going to overtalk Mauro Ranallo. So got to look at that situation. Also, David Otunga, I heard his commentary. He wasn't too good. Maybe, you know, he can work on that a little bit. It's a work in progress. But also, Tom Phillips is going to be doing Main Event Superstars now. And on those particular shows, you're going to see Corey Graves on one and Otunga on the other one. So they're really shaking up everything as far as that goes. Jerry Lawler probably is going to be on the kickoff panel from now on moving forward with WWE.
Are you surprised they take Lawler out of the broadcast booth altogether at this point?
I really am not, because they talked about the new era of WWE, and that's kind of hypocritical once again when you have Mick Foley as one of your general managers. But nonetheless, the writing was on the wall for Lawler when the whole thing happened with the domestic, even though he was clear of all of that. I think WWE has been trying to phase Jerry Lawler out for some time now. And they finally accomplished that when they removed him from SmackDown. And he's on the kickoff panel now. And, hey, it is what it is. But, you know, Steve, Jerry Lawler actually wrestled this past weekend. He took on Global Force Wrestling's Jeff Jarrett.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Was this in Tennessee?
No, actually, I think this was part of an event called Oklahomania, which featured Jim Ross and Sting as well.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And Jerry Lawler got the win.
Jerry Lawler beat Jeff Jarrett.
Exactly. I'm still wondering, though. I'm still wondering after all this time, though, I'm still wondering about this Global Force Wrestling. I have heard nothing about this for a while. So, I mean, but Jeff Jarrett had it on his sights. He had Global Force on his trunks. So, obviously, it's still there in spirit, at least.
That would make some sense if you're going to take Corey Graves off the WWE Network panel and put the King there, because I tell you, I watched that. I watched the 7 o'clock show, the pre-show leading into the draft. And then of course I watched the draft itself and the supplemental draft. And those four together just don't seem to have any chemistry. You got Renee Young, Booker T, Lita, and last night was Corey Graves. So maybe if you put the King on that panel, I don't know, maybe you could juice it up a little bit. It just doesn't seem like they have any chemistry at all.
You know, the problem with those kickoff panels, Steve, is they're so corny.
Yeah.
You know, it's so corny, and they're so kayfabe. It's just not very entertaining at all. Just like last night. It was horrible watching that last hour of the supplemental draft. It was bad. But
it's like that every time I watch when it's like a pay-per-view. It's the same four, and it's just, I don't know. Maybe part of it is, what are you going to say? I mean, they come on at 7 o'clock, and they got a whole hour to talk about the draft before the draft. What are you going to say? We don't know who's going to get picked. They don't know who's going to get picked to where. So what do you want us to say?
Yeah. I get you, but it's still boring as hell.
It's very boring as hell. Well, one guy who was actually in the draft that maybe surprised somebody, maybe as high as he went, was Brock Lesnar. Lesnar was drafted to Raw, or will probably stay on Raw. A lot of news over the weekend with Brock Lesnar and being notified of a drug failure. I know you, Frank, got into this with Atlee Green on a special show that you guys came up with on the YouTube channel. What this means moving forward, he's just been notified of a second violation. Looks like this is an estrogen blocker, which I, from what I understand, you take after you get off steroids, and it also helps to rejuvenate your testosterone. Something that you guys got into was that if he gets suspended, he could get suspended in certain states, and he may not be able to wrestle or fight. So this all broke before the draft yesterday, and he still went high in the draft. You know, what does this say for Brock Lesnar's future?
Well, it says that his future in WWE is, you know, quite rosy. Because here's the question I have. If Brock Lesnar was able to pass the WWE's wellness test, right, why did he fail USADA's? That's the question.
Good question.
That's the question right there. Which basically shows that their wellness policy is a joke. And whatever it is, I mean, I've heard that it was an asthma medication he took, and now it's saying that he tested positive for the same shit that John Jones, tested positive for. So there you go, man. And people that I've, talked to, because, I'm not really an MMA guy, but people that I've talked to, friends of mine who are MMA fans, they have told me that they sensed already that Lesnar was doing something, because just how he just mauled Mark Hunt in that fight. So
Mark Hunt was saying he's juiced.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying that. I looked at Lesnar's physique, at that weigh-in. I'm like, this guy is ripped. This guy is really ripped. He's more ripped than he was at WrestleMania.
Teddy, from a PR perspective, Brock Lesnar is not there on a full-time schedule, but he still should be subjected to the wellness policy. He still should be randomly tested. Obviously, he was caught through this test and not through the wellness policy. This is a poor reflection, I think, for WWE, because obviously he was still ripped and jacked in WWE, and he never got caught. So, I mean, what does WWE do from this standpoint? I was really surprised he went as high in the draft as he did. Obviously, he's being pushed to the moon for the SummerSlam against Randy Orton, but not a wise decision, I think, this high anyways. And I don't know, from a PR standpoint, WWE comes off looking really poor that he doesn't fail their test, but he fails their test.
Well, the only thing I can say about that, and I think we just, wasting our breath, because it's real simple. If Brock Lesnar takes a drug test for the WWE and he passes that drug test, then that's the end of that. Ain't nothing we can do about it, or nothing nobody can say about it. So that's all I can say is if they send him to take a drug test, he passed their wellness policy, then that's the end of it. That's all I can tell you, because I don't think that they're concerned about what he did somewhere else. That doesn't concern them, as long as he passes their drug policy. So if he passed the drug test, he passed the drug test. He's clean.
Let me ask you, Teddy, real quickly here. Brock Lesnar has been announced to be in a match against Randy Orton. We've seen now twice Brock Lesnar test positive for some kind of foreign substance. It's in the media. It's on ESPN. It's getting mainstream attention because obviously Brock Lesnar is a huge name in the sports entertainment world. What does WWE do from here? Do they continue to push Brock to the moon and still give him the SummerSlam match? Do they slap a 30-day suspension on him, which really wouldn't mean anything because he's not there on a week-to-week basis? Or do they say, hey, he didn't test positive for us. We can't slap a 30 days on him. I guess if you're Vince McMahon and you're the mindset of WWE, what do you do with Brock from here?
Well, I think if you put Brock out there and this, getting him ready to go into SummerSlam, I mean, you drafted him to Raw, so this guy's certainly going to be a big commodity for you. And only thing Vince can do is if he passes the WWE wellness policy, then he passes. He's clean. So, there's nothing else you can say. Ain't nothing else you can do about it.
What do you think, Frank? Is it time for WWE maybe second guess what they're doing with Brock? I can't see them giving him a 30-day suspension because he didn't fail their test. So the question is, what do you do with Brock moving forward?
I don't know, Steve. They're being kind of careful right now with the situation. I mean, Brock Lesnar was originally supposed to be on SmackDown Live last night, and he was pulled from that, and he's not supposed to return until SummerSlam. I don't know. I don't really think WWE is going to change course with Brock Lesnar at all, because at the end of the day, certain talents get certain tests. Okay, so that's just how it goes. Roman Reigns got a test, and he failed it, but hey, Brock Lesnar takes the same test, maybe he doesn't. You know, I don't know if the part-time wrestlers are even taking that wellness policy test or not. I don't know. But if you're WWE, you got to be really careful right now because you don't want a lot of scrutiny coming back on you because of this guy. You know, because a lot of people already think that, you know, wrestlers are nothing more but, you know, steroided up freaks and, you know, they're all juiced. So do you really want that kind of controversy when you're trying to be a squeaky clean company at this point where PR is everything to WWE? But last night they put Brock Lesnar out there front and center in the draft, so I don't think they're going to change course with him at all. I think they're just going to keep him off of TV until SummerSlam. They try to, you know, let this thing play out. And hopefully nothing else comes up of it.
Is that what you would do, Frank? Would you just continue on and just kind of poo-poo it to aside all the suspension talk? Because like I said, it's on ESPN. It's mainstream. It's all over social media. So it seems like it's a black eye that, you know, your test didn't catch him, but in mixed martial art, he did get caught.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I have not seen the amount of memes or comments on social media derogatory for Brock Lesnar like I did when Roman Reigns failed the test. So it's already like, you know, when it comes to people on social media and the internet wrestling community, Brock Lesnar has pretty much been forgiven for failing these tests. Now, if it had been me running the company, I would distance myself away from Brock Lesnar while this shit's going on right now. Absolutely. I would not want that. It's kind of like the same thing if Hulk Hogan was a WWF champion back in the day and the steroid scandal happened. Do I want to have anything to do necessarily with Hulk Hogan? Probably not. Not right now. Because what it does is that if you are looking at Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar, even though he is a part-time performer, he is still a contracted talent to the WWE, that might get other people looking at what's going on in professional wrestling. And what I mean by that, I'm talking about, you know, Congress might want to start butting their head into WWE's affairs to see, you know, about their wellness policy, et cetera. So I don't know. It could be some bad ramifications, especially what's going on right now with all these lawsuits.
And that's a great segue because we know the lawsuit spearheaded by Vito, Rene Dupree, and now we have a second lawsuit filed actually on Monday, federal court in New Haven, Connecticut. 50 wrestlers or 50, I don't know, every time I see this list, Frank, the list just continues to grow. But the lawsuit states that the company, WWE, placed corporate gain over its wrestlers' health, safety, and financial security, choosing to leave the plaintiffs severely injured and with no recourse to treat their damaged minds and bodies. The lawsuit also says that WWE knew of the great risk of disease such as CTE, which can result in suicide, drug abuse, and violent behavior. So essentially, they're saying WWE knew all this in advance, did not inform their wrestlers, did not take care of their wrestlers, and the list of people involved in this lawsuit was originally spearheaded by Jimmy Superfly Snuka, but the lawsuit itself says Laurinaitis versus WWE, so that is Road Warrior Animal. You have King Kong Bundy. You have Kamala. You have all kinds of names. Paul Orndorff, both Chavo Guerrero Sr. and Jr. And you know, Teddy, I'm really surprised this is the second big lawsuit of this nature. I'm surprised they haven't contacted you because they have Jazz, they have Rodney Mack, and they have Butch Reed. People that you've managed in the past, probably going to be a moment of time here before they contact you to be a part of these lawsuits.
Well, let me tell you about this lawsuit, okay? God bless all those people. You know, there's some of those guys that involved in this lawsuit that really did have concussions, and they may have got them when they got into WWF, but the majority of them, I think, you know, they wrestled way before they even got to the WWF, many, many years. So how can you say that that didn't happen before you even got into WWF? But for me, you know, I've never been in no position where I took a bump that would cause me to have a concussion, so I'm not going to get on nowhere and tell no lies, you know, nothing to try to get some money. So if they call me, my answer to them is no.
So what they have to prove here, Frank, essentially, is that WWE was aware of this. They did nothing to warn, educate, or provide treatment to the wrestlers. And, of course, some of these wrestlers' names on here, Sabu, Shane Douglas, people who not were in the company for very long. Slick is on this lawsuit. I mean, I can't remember Slick taking bumps. So on the surface, it seems pretty frivolous to me.
Yeah, I mean, some of these guys might have legitimate claims, but I think majority of them really don't. It all goes really back to your tenure with WWE, WWF. A lot of these guys wrestled for the WCW. You know, so I was questioning, somebody the other day, not going to name names, but I was questioning somebody the other day about why are you not trying to sue Turner Broadcasting, Time Warner, you know, for some of the injuries that you got in WCW. Never got an answer to that question. So, I mean, I don't know. The WWE's attorney there, Jerry McDevitt, is probably going to look at this list, and a lot of these lawsuits are going to probably be dismissed in the long run. I just don't really think that they are going to have, a leg to stand on with a lot of this stuff, because a lot of these people, haven't worked for the company in a long time. I don't really think WWE was thinking about concussions when a lot of these people were working there. I think they were still reeling from the steroid scandal, to be honest with you, Steve. And they were dealing with other things. They were dealing with, Monday Night Wars, WCW. So I don't really think concussions and the long-term effects of any of that stuff ever entered the brain of the WWE, never entered the brain of Vince McMahon to even think about these issues that they're having right now. And I think as long as they have their quote-unquote wellness policy in play, they're going to use that as their defense. And they're going to, all these people that signed up for this lawsuit right now, they're going to take them down one at a time. And it really sucks as a fan for me, because when I see names on here like Axe and Smash, Bill Eadie and Barry Darso, Demolition, I mean, that really hurts them from going into the WWE Hall of Fame. When you would think that, they should be in Hall of Fame, and really now it's kind of questionable if they ever going to get in because of this lawsuit. And another thing, too, is that, John Laurinaitis, Road Warrior Animal's brother, still works for the company. So that has to be a huge conflict of interest.
And we also should know, I believe you said, we were talking before the show, James Harris, Kamala, we believe is under a Legends deal, correct?
That's correct. I believe he is, yes.
So that would appear that he doesn't really care about that Legends deal.
Well, I mean, he said in the shoot interviews, man, he wasn't really getting no money from that Legends deal. I mean, they sent him a check, and then he hasn't gotten any money from that. They said, oh, we had a doll out for him. This is his words. They put a doll out for me. And that was it. And they haven't sent me anything since. So he has a lot of, different health problems. And bottom line, when it comes to James Harris Kamala, I feel sorry for Kamala. I really do, because he's a guy that was kind of given a raw deal there. I mean, as far as his health issues go. But he's also a guy that I believe that they really took advantage of him at the WWF. I mean, here's this guy coming in, Mississippi boy, pretty much. And they felt we can take advantage of him. He ain't gonna know no difference. I mean, it's pretty obvious when you got a match between the Undertaker and you get paid 10, but Taker gets paid 60. I mean, there you go right there. What they thought of Kamala. So I mean, Kamala pretty much at this point is just trying to get a payday, and I can't blame him for that. But do I think these guys are gonna get any money out of this lawsuit? Probably not.
Yeah, I just think, Teddy, a lot of this comes off as just bitterness. Maybe some of these guys are upset they've never been called back. They never got a Legends deal. Some of them, I think it would be potential for Hall of Fame, but, I mean, at the end of the day, they want to be paid at this point.
Well, what a lot of these guys got to understand is this. If you don't get called back, you don't get called back. The WWE is not promised to nobody. If you've been there, you had a good run there, and you're gone, then thank God you had a great run and you're gone. They don't have to call you back. This is their company. They don't have to put you in the Hall of Fame. That belongs to them. If they put, like I've always said, if they put me in the Hall of Fame, I'll be honored. I thank them for it. But if they don't, I don't care. I don't care about going to the Hall of Fame. I didn't care about going back to be the general manager of SmackDown. If they wanted me to come back, I would do it. I'm not going to turn down no money. But it didn't hurt my feelings when they didn't call me back, because this is something I didn't want to do. I don't want no more of that stress. All that traveling and all that, no getting no rest and stuff. I had a great run there, 15 years. I've been in the wrestling business over 30 years, and I'm still involved, but I'm enjoying my life now. I'm having a great time. And I think some of these guys that are bitter, they should just go on and move on. When your time is up, your time is up. Just go on and find something else to do and move on. And thank Vince, if you had a good run there, thank him for the good run. That's the way I look at it, man. That's why I'm saying I'm not going to be part of this lawsuit mess. I ain't going to get no money out of him. Where did I get hit at to have a concussion? Nowhere. So it's just crazy to even involve your name in, especially when you tell me about Slick Jesus Christ, I don't even think Slick ever slipped up on nothing. So how is he going? You know, this doesn't make any sense, man.
Didn't we just see Slick at the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I saw Slick at the Hall of Fame, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Go figure. Well, you know, we were talking about the Legends deal, and what we saw, a couple months ago, Scott Steiner went nuts about Legends deals. It's not even worth the paper written on them. It gives WWE more control of your likeness and images for video games, etc. So apparently, you know, a lot of these guys don't put value on the Legends deals anyways.
Well, you know, basically, I don't know much about that Legends deal. You know, I never had one. I just know some people that might have got it, and they've just told me stuff about it. So I think it's something they give you a check every week, and if they want to use you for WrestleMania for fan access, I think you go out and you do that. Or if they want to bring you in for personal appearances, you know, they can call you. Basically, I guess you're at their mercy at any time. Anytime they want to use you, they call you. But there are a lot of times that they may not call you for a month or two, but you still get a check every week. So, you know, maybe it's good in that sense. You know, you're getting some money every week. Some money is better than no money. So you have to kind of look at it like that, too. But like I said, if you got other things on your mind or other bigger things, you know, that you're going to involve your life in, maybe it's not good for you to have that so you don't be under nobody's control.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is these lawsuits, you're going to have to prove the company hid the long-term effects of brain damage from in-ring performances. I think that's going to be very difficult to prove. And now you have two lawsuits combined here. I just don't see these lawsuits going anywhere, Frank. And I even saw, was it Lance Storm, a tweet that somebody asked him about, you know, why are these lawsuits popping up? And he just said, you know, basically it's because WWE has a lot of money right now. And it doesn't seem like there's a lot of substance to these lawsuits.
No, I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, you can't work at a company for, you know, 6 months and then come back and sue them, you know, and discredit everything you did before you got to said company. And I'm seeing a lot of guys that, you know, are suing the WWE that are from ECW, for God's sakes. So that shows you right there a lot of the bullshit going on here with this lawsuit. This is just pretty much a money grab from WWE. And these are guys that are pissed off that they haven't been called back, haven't been offered a spot as a trainer or a backstage agent, not being paid royalties for the WWE network, et cetera, is what's going on here.
Frank, just like you said, man, these guys got to understand. You got to move on, man. You got to live. You know, life goes on. You know, you got to, you know, start doing, be your own man and stand up and start doing something for yourself. You can't wait on Vince and somebody to send you something. That's crazy.
And I think a lot of this is motivated by what the lawsuit in the NFL, that the players sued the NFL and got some compensation. So maybe they're thinking the same thoughts here with WWE, that WWE is aware of some of these long-term effects on the brain, but I think this is going to be hard to prove.
I think it is. I mean, you know, the WWE's wellness policy came into play in 2005. It was shortly after Eddie Guerrero's passing. So that's when they really started to look at the wellness of the superstars. And then, you know, after the whole Benoit tragedy happened, that's when they really started to take a look at concussions. So, I mean, you know, the only thing I can think of when it comes to these lawsuits and some of the actual performers that worked for the World Wrestling Federation at the time is that the ring was a lot stiffer in those days, and they didn't actually change the ring until around 1999. So some of those guys might have a chance here, but, I mean, people like Sabu. I mean, my God, dude. I mean, look at the crazy shit Sabu was doing in ECW. I mean, that's just the bottom line. You know, and if you're going to sue the WWE, then like I said before, a lot of these guys that wrestled for Turner, why are they not suing Time Warner? Why are they not doing that?
I'd have to agree with you. I think that's a legitimate question that should be addressed.
Well, I asked somebody the other day, and he didn't want to answer it, so.
Because he couldn't answer it. That's why he didn't want to answer it. He didn't have the answer.
I want to also mention here, 67-year-old Ric Flair is again engaged. I believe this will be his fifth go-around, and he's engaged to, I don't know if you remember this lady here, Teddy. She was in WCW for a time as Fifi.
I remember her. She's with him all the time. The last couple of shows that I did with Ric Flair, she was right there. She, you know, drives him around and stuff. But yeah, I know. I remember Fifi.
So I guess they're now officially engaged.
I got Frank's favorite word, go figure.
I don't know, Frank. I think Ric Flair's been buried a bit in these marriages. What do you think about this one?
I don't know, man. I thought Ric Flair was a player. Woo! You know what I'm saying? I don't get that one. You can just
Space Mountain.
You can just get the cutty and not get married. You dig? That's what you do. So I don't know, man. I guess, you know, I hope it works out for Nation. I really do. I hope it works out this time. Because I don't know how much more money he want to pay these women.
I was just going to say, Teddy, I don't know his financial situation. We know that, you know, Ric Flair a few years ago was broke. So you would think if Fifi's going to marry Ric Flair, she must really love the guy because I don't think he's got any money.
Well, you know, since you brought that up, you know, I really do. I kind of think she does. She really does love him because, you know, the last couple of times that I've, you know, worked with Flair on shows and she was there, she really, you know, took care of him, man. I mean, she really showed a lot of concern, you know, and, you know, like she did, like she does love him. So that could be a big factor there. You know, I think she really does love him because the last time I've seen them together, she really took care of him and she's really looking out for him. And so, you know, I believe she really loves him.
Well, we hope it does work out for him. As everybody here on the GRP, we know Ric Flair's marital problems in the past, and he's still paying out, I believe, on some of those. So hope that it works out for the Nature
Maybe
Boy.
He had all these issues before because he was with the, you know, the wrong woman. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty much what it is. He was with the wrong women, and he was still sounding profiling. You know, now he's, you know, Ric Flair, and, you know.
Well, you know, he's gotten older now, and he's kind of settled down a little bit. So, you know, that may have a lot to do with it, too.
Yeah, but 67, yeah. Damn. I thought you would have settled down years ago, but 67, shit.
Well, you know, he's been out there in that life a long time, man, you know. So his wrestling career has been a long time. So, you know, he ain't had time to settle down, man.
Oh, yeah, Ric Flair is about that life.
I was going to say, if he was marrying somebody just a little bit younger, I would say maybe he's going to have another baby. I just saw Mick Jagger is going to have another baby, and he's in his 70s.
72. So,
72, and has fathered another child.
Thank God for Viagra.
Like, damn, man. I don't get that one. Jagger should just pull it out.
You know, when I see that, I just think... you're not going to see much of the child's life. I don't know if that's fair to the child. We do wish Ric Flair the best in his marriage to Fifi. And also wanted to mention here, hey, Teddy, have you ever been to Abdullah the Butcher's House of Ribs and Chinese Food?
Yes, I have.
Did you know that it's now closed?
No, I didn't know that. I know he had two restaurants. He had one in which he had in the Greenbrier Mall, which is here in Atlanta. And I know they shut that one down. So now that they've closed the main one down, that's the one that he opened when he first went in the restaurant business. So I have no idea what's going on there. I really don't. I know the one in Greenbrier Mall, they shut it down because he couldn't pass the health inspection. He kept getting low scores. So I don't know what went on with this one here. Like I said, I'm first hearing it. I didn't know they had shut it down.
Wait, 1 second here, Teddy. You mean to tell me that Abdullah the Butcher himself, Mr. Clean, this dude couldn't pass the inspections with the health department? They shut down his restaurant in the mall?
Well, that's what I heard, that the restaurant was called he didn't pass the inspections or something.
Holy shit. I wonder, was he spreading hepatitis in the food?
You'd ask for a fork there, wouldn't you?
Hey, but seriously, though, man, what kind of shit combination is that? Barbecue and Chinese food? What the fuck, man?
Well, I went there when he first opened up, man. It was nice. It was great food. You know, he was married to his wife was Chinese or Japanese. I'm not sure.
That explains it.
Yeah, so that's where that side went to.
Okay, yeah, that definitely explains it. Because I'm wondering, where the hell do you get that combination?
Yeah.
It's like going to a Mexican restaurant that sells hot dogs. Come on now.
Maybe you could use the wooden chopsticks for your... your ribs are. I don't know if I want to use any silverware that he might have. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man.
That's a shoot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, but shit.
Quickly here, poll results. Who will win at WWE Battleground? Ambrose, Rollins, or Reigns? Who do you think there, Teddy?
I think it would be Rollins.
And, of course, this poll was taken before the draft was announced. 62% said Dean Ambrose, 30% said Seth Rollins, and 9% is Roman Reigns. And Frank, I guess we don't know because we don't know what they're going to do with the championship at this point.
I don't know, Steve. You know, back-to-back championship matches, and the only difference is going to be you add Roman Reigns into the mix at Battleground. So this is a match that I've already seen. I saw Ambrose and Rollins in matches before, and I really wasn't too impressed. So, I mean, honestly, when it comes up to the bottom line here, I don't care who the champion is going to be come out of Battleground, to be honest with you.
They don't either. That's the thing. They probably won't know until Sunday.
Yeah.
Right.
Because Sunday is the Battleground pay-per-view, so very much up in the air. We got a question from Bruce for Teddy. How did Teddy Long like the brand extension back in 2002?
Well, I tell you, that's a long way to go back. So I really don't remember what the brand extension was in 2002. So all I can say to you, players, that I guess it was good. I was involved in it. That made it greater.
What do you remember from that time, Frank?
The brand extension 2002, the original one. Well, you know, Steve, the roster was a hell of a lot better than it is now. You know, on that roster, you had Stone Cold Steve Austin, you had The Undertaker, you had The Rock, you had NWO, you had the Dudley Boys, you had a lot of different talents, the Hardy Boys, and it was a lot of excitement around that time. But a lot of the wrestling fans at that time, we didn't really grasp the situation of what we actually were going to see. And at that time, Steve, SmackDown was the A show because you had The Rock on that show. You had Kurt Angle on that show. You had, Chris Jericho on that show. You know, so it was a big deal at that time. And everybody was over.
Boy, times have definitely changed.
Definitely changed.
Seeing where we are in 2016. Well, something that's not changed is our Twitter handle. It's still at Gerwick, and we're also at Gerwick Report on Twitter. Also, check us out on Facebook. And I want to also give a quick plug here to teddylong.com. And at Teddy Play Along, I believe that's what Instagram and Twitter. And what do you have coming up there, playa?
Well, just coming up this Saturday night, I'm going to be in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, along with Sting, Lex Luger, Matt Hardy, Damian Sandow. We'll be there at the McCoy Stadium. It's all a part of Big Time Wrestling. And that's about it, playa. I'll be coming on back home. And then in September, I wanted to remind everybody on September the 10th, I'm going to be in New Orleans, Louisiana for Wildcat Sports. I am the new general manager for Wildcat Sports, and we signed a TV deal, and we're going to start coming on TV on September 10th, WUPL Channel 50 in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Awesome. So Teddy is going to be a general manager again, so definitely check that out. Any final words, Frank? A quick plug for YouTube one more time.
Yeah, youtube.com/GerwickNet. Check out the mock fantasy draft that myself, Adley Green, and Adam Cohn did. I'm telling you, it is the shit. So check it out right now, youtube.com/GerwickNet. Other than that, we will all check you next time here on the GRP.
Believe that, player!